Today on episode number 365 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to wade into the deep end on content with podcast talent coach Eric K. Johnson.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting, all points in between. Today, we're going to get way deep into the subject of content. What is good content? How you can reach out to your audience and connect with them. It's going to be awesome. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, I would love to hear from you. Here's how you can contact me. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. My phone number, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, is 888-563-3228. You can also use the little voicemail button out at the website if you got a microphone plugged in, or leave a comment out at the blog, which, of course, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com. And let me remind you that the School of Podcasting, don't leave home without it. Yes, okay. And I'm really glad you're here. I'm always excited to have a chance to sit down and chat with you. And since we're talking about content today, I thought it'd only be fitting that I start off by spotlighting a member of the School of Podcasting. And Dr. Nina has phenomenal content. She's the one that I always point out when people go, you have to have at least 3 episodes in iTunes before you can be a new and noteworthy. No, she was in there with 1. Why? Because she has awesome content. Also, the other thing I want to point out, people say you can only be a new and noteworthy for 8 weeks. That was proven wrong. I was sniffing around and I saw This American Life, which has been around forever, was in new and noteworthy. So I've heard that you can only be there for 8 weeks. I don't think that's either something has changed. If that was true in the past, it's not true anymore. But Dr. Nina does Win the Diet War. You can find her at winthedietwar.com. And here's a snippet of her show.
I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, psychoanalyst, and today I'm going to talk about the difference between having needs and being needy.
Welcome to Win the Diet War with Dr. Nina, helping you make peace with food and feel good about yourself.
If you're human, and if you're listening to this show, you are definitely human, then you have needs. We all have basic needs for food, water, and shelter, and other needs for love, affection, connection, attention. In fact, a lot of expressions use food metaphors to describe a need for people, a feeling of yearning for other people, hungry for love, starved for attention. But what if people are unavailable or inconsistent? If you can't trust that others will be there for you, it might feel too risky to be hungry for love and intimacy, to need attention and connection. And if those needs aren't met, or aren't met consistently, or if you're shamed for expressing needs, it's humiliating to have them. And that's when having needs feels like you're being needy. There are 3 ways to respond to needs.
And there you go. That's almost a twofer there. You've got Dr. Nina, a member of the School of Podcasting, and Rich Palmer doing the voiceover from richpalmer.com on that one. And Dr. Nina also, she went out and she bought royalty-free music, had a voiceover guy person do that. She's hired a graphic artist to make her website look great. All that has to go into making a great first impression, and Dr. Nina has come out of the gate. And Dr. Nina is one of my favorite stories because when she contacted me, she was actually one of my coaching clients and said, look, I don't know a thing about technology. I don't know a thing about podcasting. I just know I should do it. And I've got this blog that I've been, you know, she has a successful blog, and I think I should turn this into a podcast in addition to continue blogging. And she did, and bam, she has just come out of the gate and hit the ground running. So again, you can find her at winthedietwar.com. All right, next up, we are going to talk with Eric K. Johnson. He is the podcast talent coach, and I discovered Eric on the New Media Expo blog, and we kind of touched base and said, hey, we should probably work together in the future, and I was lucky enough to have him come on. So let me give you a brief introduction to Eric before I play you our interview. He's been near the top of the radio ratings since really 2000. He's also coached many others to do the same with even greater success. He is a nationally recognized talent coach, on-air personality, and radio program director. And he programmed a station. It was KQCH in Omaha. His show ranked number one and number two nearly 90% of the time over 10 years. That's amazing, because it's one thing to get on top. It's another thing to stay there. Now, later, he moved to another station in Omaha. It was KXKT. He was number one over a year straight and in the top two for 9 out of 11 rating periods. Again, phenomenal track record. And this success stretched beyond Eric's own personal show. Both stations dominated the market. They knocked off their direct 20-year heritage competitor within a year. Think about that. You were dominated. That'd be like the Cleveland Browns coming out and just winning the Super Bowl. Really. I mean, from a Cleveland standpoint, I'm just telling you, that's amazing. That station was recognized multiple times by national radio organizations, and the station also consistently performed at the top of the market. And Eric coached other shows on both stations to great success and number one rankings. And the great thing is, now he's willing to give you some coaching as well. And you'll hear in this interview, we talk about developing a trusting relation with your audience and creating engaging content. So you can check him out again, podcasttalentcoach.com, as well as erickjohnson.com. Here is my interview with the Podcast Talent Coach. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You are the Podcast Talent Coach. You can find, well, which website do we want to plug? Let's plug them both.
Podcasttalentcoach.com is where you can find the blog and some free videos I have and show prep sheets and things like that. ErikKJohnson.com is where you can find the podcast.
You're coming from a radio background. Let's play devil's advocate. Let's hit the hard-hitting questions, right?
Right out of the box.
Right. What do you say to the person that goes, well, podcasting isn't radio and radio is not podcasting? Because I'm actually a person that might say that. What do they have in common?
Sure. Radio isn't podcasting. Podcasting isn't radio. Public speaking isn't radio or podcasting either. But they all have something in common, and that's great content and engaging your audience, whether it's on the radio or on a podcast or on a CD package you put together or in a live presentation you're doing in front of a live audience. Your content has to be engaging. It's an art, and that's what I do, is I help you refine your art, and I help you take the information that you have and turn it into engaging entertainment. Because if it's just you reading notes in a monotone voice without any art to it, people will give you about 30 seconds and then they'll be moving on to something else. And I help you capture that audience, engage that audience, and turn it into something special.
How do I know if I'm engaging or not?
Well, if you don't feel like you're getting traction with your podcast, if you don't feel like you're creating a community with your audience, if you don't feel that your audience is engaging with you, if it's just a one-way street of you putting out information and nothing is coming back, you're probably not engaging. You're probably just yelling into a hole and nobody's down there. So if you start truly engaging your audience and using storytelling and using great vivid words that bring your content to life, all of a sudden you'll start hearing things coming back from your audience that they've experienced similar to your story, and you'll start creating this incredible sense of community where these people will do things that you ask them to do. They will get involved in your show. They'll start offering help when you didn't even ask for it. And the community, it's like Seth Godin calls your tribe. It really becomes powerful, and you'll know when it starts to happen.
So let's say I'm Joe Podcaster. I'm on episode 11 and I'm not getting any email back from people. People aren't commenting on the blog. And I think to myself, well, maybe I'm just not engaging. How do you figure out what's the next step?
There are a couple things to do. First, you need to make sure you're talking to your audience and not at your audience. You're not Joe Announcer just spewing forth a bunch of facts. You need to actually be communicating with me. Dave, I think you do a great job of talking to your audience as if it's one individual. When I listen to your show, I feel like you're talking directly to me, because you're not using words like everybody or out there or all of you guys. You're not talking to a group of people, because when people are listening to your podcast, they're listening to it by themselves. And that's the great thing about audio, whether it's radio or podcast or spoken word on CD, it's just you and me. Even if I'm listening to it with a group of people, I'm listening to it by myself, because it's this theater of the mind. It's the vivid imagination that I have that makes whatever you're saying unique to me. Because when you're describing something to me, there's only one way that I will envision it in my head, because my imagination is unique to me. And if you describe a scenario, I will envision it in my head different than the guy sitting next to me will. And so even though we might be listening together, I'm listening as an individual, because it's in my head that the story is being created. And so when you get out and you start talking on your podcast, you have to talk to that one individual. You and me, that's all it is. Because podcasts are typically listened to through headphones. And it's a very solitary sort of conversation that you're having. And if it's an interview podcast, Dave, if you're interviewing somebody else and I'm listening in, then I'm kind of eavesdropping. I'm third party to that conversation. But it's still you, me, and the person you're interviewing. It's just the three of us sitting here in this room having this chat. So many people get on there and say, "Hello, everybody out in radio land. Here we are interviewing, you know, and all of you guys are going to get to find out all this great stuff." And I'm thinking, you guys, it's just me. I'm the only one here. Who are you talking to? It's me and you, you and me. And so that makes it personal. That puts that connection to it. If you start there with your podcast and then move forward from there, your podcast will grow by leaps and bounds just to begin with.
Well, I was surprised. There's a podcast I listen to. There's a guy named Michael Hyatt. He has a great book called Platforming, and he has this podcast, and he started a new thing in his podcast. And I was like, every time he did it, I was kind of like, it seemed weird. And that is, he has transition music, and he'll say something like, "I'm going to talk about such and such in just a second." And then he plays his trans music, and he says, "Welcome back." And I'm like, it seems weird that I'm like, well, you know, why did you leave me? We were right here chatting, and he's like, "I'll be right back." And I'm like, well, I'm still here. And it's weird. He plays this music. And that's when maybe – is that kind of some of the things you're talking about here where, you have to think of it as like a personal conversation?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I help creators do, whether it's podcast talent or radio talent, is find those cliches and get rid of them. Because so many people say, "We'll be right back." And then I say, "Be right back. Where are we going? You're not, I'm still here. You're still here. Why are we going to be right back?" Everybody says "be right back" because it was from old school radio. They've heard so many people do it in the past that they just continue to do it. The interesting thing is, radio originally began because RCA and some of those manufacturers created radio. Suddenly, they needed something to put on their radio, so they started creating content for their radio. So it was typically an orchestra on stage in front of an audience, or it was a play going on, or a comedian on stage in front of a live audience. And so the individual on the stage would address the audience. "Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being here tonight." Because the ladies and gentlemen were in the audience. They were in front of a live audience. And then as radio grew, it became somebody in the studio to the audience. They just continued to use the "ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being here tonight," when in fact there wasn't really an audience anymore. They had left, but it was the way we always did it. So that's the way we always continue to do it. And it happens to this day. You hear talent all the time saying, "Thanks for joining me. I appreciate having all of you here." Well, all of us aren't here. It's just me. I'm listening by myself. And when you can make that one-to-one connection and talk to an individual, that's when you really start creating powerful audio and great theater of the mind.
From the radio standpoint, how much did you know about your audience in radio? Because I know most stations have like demographics and things of that nature. Did you know, like, when they said, "Hey, welcome to the station, blah, 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 here's your demographic," or was it just a case of you kind of learned them? You learned them. There's some darn good English there. You learned them. Did you just discover them as you developed your show, or how did that work?
Most radio stations have a desired target demographic. to which they cater. When you start at a radio station, management will tell you that. We are targeting the 37-year-old male who drives a pickup truck, drinks beer, and goes out with his buddies at night. He's married and has a 3-year-old at home. That's the guy we're looking at. And so you're on the air, and that's who you're addressing. When you're doing your podcast, you should do pretty much the same thing. You should have that one individual in your mind of who you target. And that won't be every individual. Your entire audience won't be made up of 37-year-old men who drive pickup trucks and are married with a 3-year-old at home and go out and drink it on the weekends. But that's your ideal target audience. I was listening to Cliff Ravenscraft once, and he said his podcast is designed for the serious podcaster that wants to turn it into a business. That's who he's after. Now, he understands that he has hobbyists listening to his show. He has the average individual who's just starting to podcast listening to his show. And he doesn't exclude those, but most of his content is tailored for that individual who wants to do it on a serious basis. And that's what you need to create. When you're creating your podcast, you need to define that target individual that you really want to go after. Who is your content best suited for? And then develop it exactly for that individual.
I see on your website, you talk about, you know, developing a trusting relationship with your audience. How are people betraying that trust?
They come off sounding like a used car salesman.
Mm.
You're talking at me instead of to me. You're announcing at me instead of creating this conversation between you and I. A lot of people have this barrier, this wall up between them and their audience that they really don't want to let in. They don't use the art of great storytelling. They don't reveal in personal things about themselves. You have to give and give and give before you can ever take from your audience. And if you're hoping to build that trusting relationship, you need to give and give and give to your audience first. Once you do that, then it will start coming back in return. You need to start revealing things about yourself and who you are and where your weaknesses are and where you've been and the struggles you've had. When you start doing that, then the audience figures you're trusting me with some of that information. I can now trust you with some of my information. You have to show them they can trust you first before they feel like they can start opening up and giving you things such as their email address or things like that. If you're not giving to me first, I'm not going to give back to you. You can't just show up and take. It has to be developed from your side first.
You've mentioned storytelling a couple times here. How do you know if it's a good story? Is it something, do I have to sit here and dissect it and go, okay, where's the peak and where's the heartstring pull and things like that? How do you know if it's a good story?
I teach talent to create great stories that interest them. When they're a lot of talent want to tell stories because they think their audience is going to be interested in it. And for a long time, they thought, well, I can't talk about that on the show because my audience isn't going to be interested in that. I have to go talk about this thing because that's what my audience wants to hear about. And I take talent back and say, that's the wrong way to look at it. You need to be interested in order for your audience to be interested. If you want to make yourself interesting, be interested, which I mean, when you find a story, it's got to be a story that you truly find interesting. Something has to jump out of that and grab you by the throat if you're going to be entertaining telling it on your show. So you have to start by finding content that really intrigues you. And when you deliver that story on your show, then that's what's really going to capture your audience. You can't set out and try and find a story that, oh, this will be great to tell on the show because I think my audience is really going to get into it and script it out and try and the peaks and valleys and such. Just tell a great story. And the great story consists of three really strong points. You have to have an intriguing introduction. You have to lead with something that grabs them. So many people meander into their stories. They start walking down the street and you have no idea where they're going. Have you ever been at a party and you start getting into a conversation with somebody and you're about 3 minutes into the story and you're like, my God, does this guy ever have a point? Like, where is this story going? This makes no sense at all. I'm having a tough time following it. My buddy used to do that. And we always say, what's your point? Like, and he would get so flustered and just get completely off course because he would just meander into his story. When you start your story, tell me right up front what you're going to tell me. It's like a headline of an article. You need to tell me right up front, whatever, man, I had the worst weekend this weekend and you're not going to believe what happened to me. Wow, okay, now I know where we're going. And now you can say, Friday night, we talked about doing this and we were going to do this and here's what happened. And now you start getting into the story. So you have to have that intriguing introduction right up front. The second thing you need in your story are very vivid details, great words. This is theater of the mind. People are listening to your show in headphones or one-on-one basis in a very intimate environment, and they're envisioning this entire story that you tell in your head. And if you start telling me about a time you were in a club and you were playing guitar and you were on stage, draw that picture in my mind. It's theater of the mind. You're creating these great images in somebody's mind. Use words that dance. Find great, captivating words. When you are on stage and the drunk guy starts falling into your monitor with his beer, he's wearing this green shirt that's half covered in beer and he can't stand up and he's spilling more beer down the front of him than he's getting in his mouth, and all of a sudden he's falling into your monitor and you're having to kick him just to keep him away from you so you can continue playing. Words like that, you start envisioning that in your head. That's where you should go with your story. You need to make those vivid images in that theater of the mind. And then your conclusion should just basically restate your intriguing introduction. And you'll know when you get there. You'll know when you've given enough detail that you finally come to the end where you need your conclusion and just have that real powerful conclusion there at the end. And your story's done. Sometimes that story takes 30 seconds. Sometimes that story takes 5 minutes. You'll know when you get there. As long as the story continues moving forward, your audience will be captivated. I've heard stories that have lasted 2 minutes and it felt like 3 days. I just wanted it to be over. It couldn't end fast enough. And I've heard stories that have literally taken 8.5 minutes that felt like it was three, because It was so captivating. And the words that the guy used were so magical. That's what you need to have in your podcast, in your show. Just make that audience envision what you're telling them. Use those words that dance in their head and create great mental imagery.
Well, one of the debates we kind of have amongst podcasters from time to time is what I refer to as the chit chat. You know, kind of for me, what drives me crazy, and then I'd love to hear your opinion on this, is I'm a brand new podcast listener and it's whatever, the Binky and the Wiz show. And I tune it in and here's their little intro. It's the Binky and the Wiz. And then
I
here
love
they
those
come
guys.
Right. And, they tune in and the guy starts talking about how he was stuck in traffic and he was text messaging. And I'm like, is this Binky or the, I don't know who they are and I don't care about them yet. I haven't even been introduced. And they start telling me about their day, which really has nothing to do with me and has no real story. So I've always said, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, because it's an insight into their world. I understand why they're doing it. I've always said, don't lead with that. Do that at the end. And other people are like, no, that's what people want to hear. They want the inside scoop. So I guess I guess it's a couple questions. Number one, how do you feel about little chit chat stuff? Is there good chit chat and bad chit chat? And then where does it fit?
That's the bigger part, is where does it fit? Chit chat is fine if it's helping you take your show somewhere. I listen to a lot of podcasts and it just seems like the podcaster is on episode 16. So he thinks everybody in the free world is well aware of what he does on his show. And even with radio hosts, I tell radio hosts that I coach, I tell podcast talent that I coach, every day that you do your show, somebody new is listening to it. And you need to define your show for them each and every time. Then they'll say, well, yeah, but won't the regular listeners be bored with me explaining it again and again and again? My response to that is no, your regular listeners will then feel part of the club. They'll feel like they're the ones in the know and they're along with you now telling the newbies what the show is all about. They'll sing along to your jingle at the beginning because it's there and it's comfortable. It's like when you're watching your favorite sitcom and you sing along to the 30-second open because you know it's there. If all of a sudden the show opened and it was some other sort of piece of music, you would think, what happened to my show? This isn't the show that I've always watched or listened to. You want it to be safe and comfortable at the beginning because people will know, yep, this is my show. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be because it opens the exact same way each and every time. You listen to great radio hosts, that have been on the radio for 20 years, their show opens the exact same way every time. Late night talk show hosts, David Letterman and Jay Leno, opens the same way every night. Why? Because it's comfortable. It lets your audience know, yep, I'm in the right spot. And then your chit chat at the very beginning needs to go somewhere. It needs to be relevant to your show. I hear a lot of podcasters, they play the open of the show and then they start talking about the hockey game they went to over the weekend. And people are thinking, "This, I tuned into a marketing podcast. What am I listening to? The review of the hockey game or the beer that you drank?" Get to the point. And if you're talking about the hockey game because something happened at the hockey game that's relevant to marketing, then by all means, let's roll through it. But have a point and have a purpose and tell me what that is up front in your intriguing introduction, and then let's walk through it and get somewhere.
That's great advice. You should be like a talent coach or something, man. It's awesome.
That's what I do. You know, on the website, I have three videos up there, and it talks a lot about what you and I are discussing right here. The Art of Great Storytelling and Theater of the Mind is up there. Great one-on-one communication. And then the other thing that I talk about in the third video is the difference in marketing between men and women. Because we were talking earlier about demographics. Men and women approach things completely in opposite directions. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It's true in marketing as well. If you dive into it, men and women, for one example I discuss in the video, men and women attack problems very differently. Women are very protective, where men are very aggressive. If a problem comes up, a man will attack that problem looking for a solution. He just wants to solve the problem. And it goes back to caveman days. He wants to prove his self-worth. If there's a problem, he's here to solve it. That's what a guy does. Women, on the other hand, they approach the problem in a relational kind of way. They're more interested in working through the problem to discover what the underlying issues are and how that problem and the solution will affect everybody in her surroundings. Let's take, for example, they need a new vehicle. Family needs a new vehicle. A guy's going to go through consumer reports, figure out which truck has the most torque and can pull the boat, and he's going to do all sorts of studies on which dealerships have the best price, and he's going to go out and tackle that problem and get himself the best truck that'll pull his boat with the best horsepower and best torque, because he's there to solve the problem. A woman, on the other hand, when she attacks that problem, she's going to review the problem and take into consideration how it affects everybody in the family. Will it be big enough to fit the kids? Will the dog be able to fit in the back? When she has to go to practice, will all the gear fit in the back? What will the neighbors think? Do the neighbors have a similar vehicle? You know, how will it make them look? How will it look in the front yard? How will it fit in the garage? She's looking at all of the separate things because she's more relational in the attack of the problem. She's thinking of how it affects everybody, or she's trying to solve the problem in a much different way. The end goal isn't necessarily where she's interested in getting. She's interested in working through it. She's more interested in the process. The male is more interested in the finale, the goal of the problem. And when you deliver your podcast, you have to determine, are you trying to talk to men or are you trying to talk to women? Because you're helping them solve a problem. They're both dealing with the problem in completely different ways.
Is this a case if you try to talk to everybody, do you lose some of your impact? Do you need to pick one or the other?
I think so, yeah. If you try and talk to everybody, you're going to end up talking to nobody.
Yeah.
It goes back to that one-on-one conversation. You and I need to have a discussion rather than trying to address a large audience of nondescript faces.
In radio, you had your shift, right? It was whatever, you know, 12 to 4, whatever, you know, drive time. In podcasting, the one question I get a lot is, well, how long should my podcast be? Do you have an answer, insight into how do you shape your content? Should it be a certain length?
I think your show should have a structure, and you should follow that structure each and every time. When you're creating a podcast, it could be 30 minutes, it could be an hour. What you should be is consistent. Well, what drives me up a wall is if I listen to my favorite podcast, I typically do it while I'm doing something. So it may be on the drive to work. It may be while I'm mowing the yard. It may be whatever it happens to be. But if I'm expecting it to be 30 minutes and suddenly it's only 15, I'll think, well, I just got shorted. What happened to my other 15 minutes? Mm. Or if it's I'm expecting it to be 30 minutes and all of a sudden it's an hour and a half, and I typically listen to it on the drive to work, and now it's taken me four commutes in order to get through the show, I'm going to be like, this is ridiculous. Now I'm behind three episodes. So right. I think it really doesn't matter how long your show is, as long as one, it's engaging and entertaining, and two, it's consistent.
It goes back again to that engaging. I always reverse engineered whatever it is I was listening to, and most things made me either laugh, cry, think, or groan. One of those, you know, something, right. somehow it moved me. And so I kind of try to judge my content like that. I go, okay, is this going to make me do one of those four, or just entertain or inform, I guess, if it's the news, you know, things of that nature. So
the great way to think about it is you always want to leave your audience wanting more. Don't overstay your welcome. If they can handle a 45-minute podcast, it's much better to do a 30-minute podcast than a 60-minute podcast. Because if they're only handling 45 and you're on minute 55, they're going to be looking at their watch. You know, it's going to be that speech that you had to sit through that went 20 minutes longer than it needed to. You always want to leave your audience a little hungry for the next episode.
Can you give me the last five podcasts that you listened to?
Wow, the last five podcasts that I listened to. Responsible Sports Podcast featured Jim Craig, the 1980 Olympic goaltender. Was a very cool interview that I listened to. I listened to the Eventual Millionaire podcast earlier today.
With Jamie Tardy?
I did. And I listened to your podcast before that.
Suck Up? Okay, good.
Hey, you wanted the last five. I'm just throwing it in there. Before that, I listened to Dave Ramsey's podcast.
Which one? The entrepreneur one or just his radio show?
I do listen to the Entre Leadership podcast. That was not the one. I listened to the regular radio show, Dave Ramsey's show. And before that was Dan Miller's 48 Days to the Work You Love. I catch that every weekend.
I got to say thank you so much for your time. And again, you can find Eric at podcasttalentcoach.com. And then the other website is just erickjohnson.com.
Correct. Yep. On the on Podcast Talent Coach, I have some great worksheets that are absolutely free. Just enter your email address and you can get some show planning worksheets that'll help you walk through a lot of this and develop stories for your show and develop great content for your show, help you refine it a little bit. And there are three pretty powerful videos up there, each about 30 minutes each, that will walk you through creating great theater of the mind and great storytelling, the power of one-on-one communication. And that difference between marketing to men and women to help you refine your target audience. I have the link to the blog up there as well and information about any coaching services that I might be able to help you with. I'm all about the art of the podcast. There are plenty of coaches out there that will help you set up your RSS feed. You know, guys like Dave will help you figure out which microphone you need to work and which website's best for you and which plugins you ought to be using. I don't know a whole lot about that. What I do know a whole lot about is creating engaging entertainment and help you remove a lot of the cliches and crutches that you use on a daily basis and really turn your content into some engaging entertainment and powerful stories. That's what I love to help people do.
Well, I look forward to your podcast, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Dave, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And there you go. Such a nice guy. So glad I kind of bumped into him and I reached out, and I definitely can see myself and Eric kind of working in tandem in the future. He's a super nice guy, and definitely with his background, I will be tapping into his expertise as we move forward. Since we're talking about content today, I found a podcast by Rick Mulready. I believe is how you pronounce his name. You can find him at rickmulready.com. His last name is Mulready. And in episode number 13, now what he does, he produces a podcast called Inside Social Media. And he's interviewing people from like Walmart and Coke and all these major, huge brands and finding out what these giant companies are doing regarding social media and seeing if there's anything there that we can learn as small businesses, as entrepreneurs, as solopreneurs, wannapreneurs, whatever you want to call it, anything we can learn from these people who obviously have a bigger view of social media than we do. And he interviewed a guy from Coke. Yeah, that's right. Coca-Cola shared their insights on social media with Rick. And here is a great clip. It's actually about 2 minutes long, but check this out.
So you talked a lot already about content, you know, and I want to, you know, the next couple of questions here, I want to talk about content, and the content that you guys put out within social media rarely contains, salesy type messages. Can you talk about, you know, that strategy and why you guys have that approach?
Yeah, so we have a fans first approach, which is ultimately our consumers own our social spaces. They own the brand. They own our Facebook page. They own our LinkedIn profile. So everything that we want to put in front of those audiences, we want it to have shared value. So if you give me 5 minutes to read a Coca-Cola Journey article, or you give me 30 seconds to watch a short video, or 5 seconds to read a Twitter post, I want you as the consumer and the reader to get something from that. It doesn't necessarily mean that Coke has to get something for that from that exchange. So our goal is to be of service, not try to sell you stuff.
Gotcha. And speaking of all that, creating the content, you know, the problem for small businesses is that it tends to be time consuming and it tends to be resource intensive. Can you give us maybe a few tips for trying to simplify content creation for small businesses?
I don't think you can. I mean, you can develop smart processes that make it more efficient, but create good content's hard. And I don't think that there's a shortcut to that. And it takes money, and it, more importantly, it takes a lot of time. I think for a small business, the thing to focus on is, you know, what value are you giving to your consumers who are taking the time to follow you? So, you know, if you own a corner hardware store, do short how-to videos, something that's, you know, locally relevant and that's valuable. But that doesn't necessarily mean that creating those short videos is easy and doesn't take time and doesn't take money, because it does. And I think, you know, we're entering an age where content's king, but the greatest lie we sometimes tell ourselves is that what I want to talk about is what a consumer wants to read about. And that's very rarely true. And also that content is cheap.
What do you mean by that? The content is cheap?
No, I think that's a lie that we sometimes tell ourselves, because it's media, it's free, or creating great content for Facebook is going to be cheap, because it's not. Because if you look what people want to share, it's a video that sparks an emotion or makes you laugh or is funny or makes you cry. It's a really beautiful photograph. It's a really interesting piece of sound. Those aren't necessarily cheap and easy to pull together.
And I love that clip because it kind of reinforces some of the things I've said in the past. Number one, it's always about the audience. Always. You know, not so much what you think is cool, but what do they think is cool. Always try to kind of develop your content with your listener in mind. A lot of people call that the avatar, right? Your target audience. Keep that in mind as you're developing content. And the fact that it's not real salesy, right? Who would want to listen to this podcast if every 10 minutes I said, go to howtopodcast.com and sign up for my 6-week podcast coaching class, right? And then here's another thing, and go to howtopodcast.com. That would be kind of boring, right? It gets a little old after a while. So it's not real salesy. It's all about building that relationship with your audience. And the fact, I love the fact that they said, good content doesn't just fall off the tree. You got to work on that. Right now, I'm working on a couple episodes for the School of Podcasting. One is about, I'm trying to find like the perfect free WordPress theme. If you have any insights on that, let me know. And I'm also looking at premium themes. I've got a fair amount of knowledge on those already, but I'm looking for like a really cool, flexible, powerful WordPress theme that's free, because that seems to be the question. I've asked you about, you know, how do you discover podcasts? Because if we can kind of reverse engineer that, we can do that. So I'm actually putting in a fair amount of work into the reporting aspect of future episodes, so they don't just fall off the tree. It's nice when you can talk about your life experiences and things like that. Those are great, but sometimes you got to do some work. And speaking of that, let me explain another quick story. I wrote about this on my blog at davidjackson.org. I'm actually going to go over there right now. And Ira Glass does This American Life. And in his episode, I believe it was 430, it was called Very Tough Love. An interesting story here. He did huge amounts of actual reporting. He heard about this story, and a real brief summary of this story is there was a Superior Court judge in Georgia who was just basically off her rocker. She just threw out these major, major sentences for really minor, minor crimes. And to make a long story short, Ira heard about this and said, you know, somebody in the media should spotlight this. And then it dawned on him that oh, you know what? I'm the media. And so he did all this research. He actually was in a situation where people were like, I don't want to talk about that. No. I'll get in trouble or I'll do this. And because, again, you're talking about a judge. And he actually had to do a lot of reporting on this and digging to get the story. The cool thing is he got the story. The podcast ran in 2011. And within a year, the judge was basically not so much fired, but she resigned from the bench. Because she was doing bad, bad things. And I've always said, if you can't get on, you know, the mainstream media and you can't get any exposure, you have access to a global audience. And because Ira, I would love to know what he spent just on that episode alone. A lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of plane flights in his case down to Georgia. So good content is not free. It takes a little bit of work. But man, I can now see why that podcast is number one in iTunes almost all the time. He puts in a lot of work. So good content doesn't just happen. It does, you know, there's always the exception to the rule when you get a bunch of people in the room and they're being creative, they're being spontaneous, sure. But typically it doesn't just happen. Now, I do want to point out, I have another clip for us here since we're talking about content. And this is from the new media show, and this is one of my new favorite podcasts. It's Todd Cochran from Blueberry and Rob Greenlee from robgreenlee.com, and this is on the Geek News Central kind of network, or you can just find it at newmediashow.com, and they're interviewing Andrew Zarian, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He's from the Guys from Queens.com network, and I'm just going to play this clip because I've talked about how niche podcasting, the new buzz phrase now, is drilling down. And check out this little clip from the show.
Something that I've noticed over the last couple, maybe the last 6 months or to a year, is that more non-techie people are getting involved in podcasts. And I'm not talking about the comedy podcasts, which everybody's doing in the technical stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, regular day people doing a podcast. One of my friends, she doesn't do podcasting. She doesn't really listen to podcasting. She got into it because she got pregnant and she started doing a weekly, 20-minute podcast on how it's going for her and her pregnancy. And the thing has gotten really big. And she said she's getting like 1,000 downloads a week. And this is someone that has no concept of analytics and SEO and a website. She just started putting it out there and people are watching it. So I think stuff like that is going to be almost like the future of what everyday podcasts are going to be like. It's going to be very niche, very specific audiences that are tuning in to watch these things.
Now, 1,000 downloads is, wow, impressive. It really is. A couple, I forget how many shows ago it was, Rob Walsh from Libsyn was on a show and explained that the mean is where you take the biggest number and the smallest number and you find the number in between. Per episode was 250 downloads. So if you're doing above 250, you're doing good. You are above average. Okay? So it's interesting because here, now look, I have never been, nor will I ever be pregnant. I can only imagine what it's like. Last night I went to the movies with my wife. We saw the movie Red 2 with Bruce Willis. And there was a woman there that was ready to explode. I mean, she was pregnant. And here in Ohio, it's the summertime right now. And it was just incredibly hot and incredibly humid. And I just thought, man, the last thing I would want to be right now is buku pregnant. Just can't imagine it. And so the people that can connect with that are other pregnant people. And I'm sure, number one, without hearing even, I don't even know what podcast that is. He didn't mention the name. But the fact that it's real, it's a story, and it is connecting with her audience. And there are certain things that just allow people to connect. I know my mother died of a heart attack at a fairly early age. She was 58. And when I meet somebody who has lost a parent, especially if they've lost a parent too soon, there is a weird kind of, I know what it's like to be in your shoes and only you and I know what it's like to be in those shoes kind of connection. and you both kind of swap this sucks kind of stories, and then you connect. It's kind of weird. And I'm sure that's what's going on there with the pregnant podcast. And that's one of the great things about podcasting is like-minded people will find your podcast. And if you're creating that wow content, if you are creating that enticing content that Eric talked about, and you're talking to just one person and you're listening to them. I was in the chat window today on a Saturday here, and the chat was just exploding. And I loved every minute of it because I'm finding out. I always ask people, what would you like to hear on the SOP? And that's where I get a lot of my ideas, along with the stuff that I just come up with. But to me, it's all about you. And what do you want? Why do you think I give out my contact information at the beginning of the show? Because if you come up with something, I want you to play that and somewhere within the first minute, be able to contact me. You know, if you have the SOP app for Android, for smart, for what is it, iPhone, and now for Windows, I believe, you can find that in the iTunes store. There's a button right there where you can call. How cool is that? And I would love to hear from you. Always, always, always. That's one of the things I always tell new members of the School of Podcasting. They always come on the chat. I hate to bug you. You are not bugging me ever. So if you're around on a Monday or a Thursday night or Saturdays, I'm almost always on the chat and I love to hear from you. And of course, Saturdays at 11 a.m., I'm still doing the live show. That might go on hiatus when I get ready to teach my podcast group coaching classes there where you get to you'll have a podcast in 6 weeks. You can find that, as I said earlier, at howtopodcast.com. So the live thing might go on hiatus for a smidge as I kick that program off. All right, I'm calling an audible here. This wasn't announced at the beginning of the program, but I'm going to put it in here. Since we're talking about content, I found this tool. In fact, there's actually a video for this inside in the members area of the School of Podcasting. It's called SwiftType. And I believe this is the one my friend Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast, he mentioned a plugin a while back, and I didn't write it down, and I'm going to put money on this is the one he was talking about. I found out about it from another blogger, and it's called SwiftType. And what this does is, in a nutshell, it takes the WordPress search, which, by the way, is horrible. So when people go out to your website and do a search, they almost, it's just not good. This is a free plugin that you can put in, and people, when people actually type in a search, they start to see results on your website. It's really, really cool. The cool thing about it is you can go in and see what people are searching for. So since we're talking about content, you can see what people are looking for. And if it's not on your website, guess what? Then you know what your next episode is going to be about, right? So it's free. If you just do a search, if you go to Swift, it's kind of weird because they merge the words together. It's SwiftType. So SwiftYPE.com, basically. Or if you just go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/365, I'll put a link to this as well as a video that kind of shows it from the company there. And like I said, for the members of the School of Podcasting, there's actually a tutorial on how to install this and how to tweak it and things like that. But since we're talking about content today and understanding what your audience is looking for, this is a free tool that can help you understand what your audience is looking for. And we said a couple of episodes back that one of the ways you can grow your audience, one of the ways churches are growing their audience, is by finding what the need is in the community and helping to solve that need, hence embracing their community, which then leads to that church growing. And whatever you want to call it, a church, a tribe, a community, whatever, it would work the same for podcasting as well. So that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. I do deeply, deeply value your time. I want to put a big shout out to R. Mordant at successfreaks.com and say you need to do another 8 reps. Come on, you can do it. 2 more, 1 more, and good. Because he says he listens to me while he's working out. So good job, and hit the showers. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I deeply appreciate it and would love to help you start a podcast. Hopefully I've given you something to think about and you've heard some things and went, maybe I should start a podcast. And if you do, the website is schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources out there. You need music, you need graphics, you need themes. Everything is out there, schoolofpodcasting.com, along with little old me to help you along the way. And we've got many different ways to learn. You can do our step-by-step tutorials. You can do the coaching class. You can go to howtopodcast.com for that. Or if you want one-on-one personalized attention, I do that as well. So I look forward to working with you. And I always remind you that it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And until next week, class is dismissed. And I hope to see you on the inside. Thanks so much. God bless. We'll see you next week.